is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
When I was growing up in my youth group, there was a girl who announced one day she really hoped that the rapture wouldn't happen anytime soon because she had never kissed a boy, and she sure wanted to kiss a boy before she met Jesus. And I remember there were a whole lot of teenage boys who were ready to try to get her ready for heaven. And her youth minister had to step in and say, you know, heaven is really about more than that. I think there are a lot of people like that girl in our churches right now. They really aren't looking forward to the new creation. They really aren't looking forward to the coming of Christ because they're just too comfortable with the way things are right now. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and today I want to talk about heaven. Albert Mohler is on family vacation right now. Who knows what he's doing right now? He may be parasailing right now, for all I know. If you see Albert Mohler and he is wearing a suit and a tie, please tell him to go do something fun wherever he is in the country. It may be like a Where's Waldo or Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego thing. Look for Albert Mohler and make sure that he is relaxing. But today, we're going to talk about heaven and what it means to create a community of people who really long for something more than this life. And what I'd like to know from you is, how do you encourage in your churches, maybe in your own family, a looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth, a looking forward to, as Jesus says, the treasure that is in heaven? And what difference does it make in your own Christian discipleship when you think about what is it going to be like when we are resurrected from the dead, when we're all finally together, free from sin, free from pain, free from death? What do you think it's going to be like? Well, what do you think it's going to be like to serve Christ free from sin, free from pain? And how does that affect your life right now? How does that affect your church right now? How do you encourage one another to think about beyond next week, beyond retirement, beyond everything, to the new Jerusalem, to heaven, to a new earth? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'm going to have on the phone in a few minutes a scholar from University of California at Santa Barbara who says that we've lost our idea of heaven. He says that Americans particularly just don't care about heaven anymore. I'm curious to know if you think he's right. Do you think that we're at a stage in American culture where people aren't interested in heaven, they don't care about heaven anymore? And if that's the case, how do we pierce through that? How do we present a vision of eternity that is so compelling that lost people will want to find out what it's about? How do we present a vision of heaven that is so compelling that Christians in our churches will stop worrying about all the silly transient things that we worry about and focus on the coming of Christ and the restoration of the entire universe? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, and we will talk about that. But first, in the news today, a horrifying story in the Los Angeles Times. It's not really all that new, but every time I hear about it, it just makes my blood boil, and that is China's one-child policy. As you know, China has a policy where each family can have only one child, and as we all know, this policy is coercive, this policy is totalitarian. You have forced sterilizations, forced abortions. But right now, according to the Los Angeles Times, there is a lawyer and an activist in Beijing who is challenging this, and he is really exposing the fact that China is so coercive and so hostile to families with this policy, even to the point of allowing certain families and certain situations to get around the one-child policy while penalizing others. It'll be interesting to see how China responds to any kind of light being shed on this. As you know, China does not deal with dissent very well and in a very friendly fashion. I hope that the Lord will raise up more and more people in China to stand up and say, you know what, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but our children don't bear the image of Caesar. I really pray that a great revival of Christian truth would happen in China, and one of the results of that would be that children who right now are not being born would be born. Also, in other news, Times of London is reporting the creation of a test tube father. Scientists say that they have an end to male infertility in mind because they have been able to produce mice using artificial sperm. They're wanting to now try that with human beings. So we will watch and see what the scientists tell us they want to do next. Also, the Los Angeles Times reports that there's a birth control bonanza going on in the United States of America. It's a pivotal year, they say, for birth control because in the last 6 months, the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, has approved all kinds of different birth control methodologies and pills, including some that can prevent mood swings and other side effects. All kinds of things. And the Los Angeles Times says this is really great because it will allow women to tailor their birth control methods to fit their lifestyles. Who knows where that's going to go? Who knows how many different pharmaceutical companies are going to come out with 1,000 different options for contraceptive devices in the years to come and even beyond? Also, article today, Associated Press, talking about Vacation Bible School. This year, you have Vacation Bible School going on right now in churches all over the country doing all kinds of things. This article talks about the fact that you have everything from kids wearing sombreros, doing a cha-cha dance in a Mexican-themed Vacation Bible School, to Arctic exploration hunts, to hunts for buried pirate treasure, to archaeological digs, to all kinds of themes for Vacation Bible School this year. And also, you've got kind of a different kind of VBS going on, which is, you know, used to be, you had Vacation Bible School for 1 week, it's in the morning, it ends around lunchtime, you all go home, but now we're living in a different kind of a world where you have a lot of children whose moms work, dad works, and so Vacation Bible School very often is taking place right now at night in many communities. I really hope that what we will do is to spend some time thinking about during the summer the need to pray specifically for Vacation Bible School. I don't know how many people I have met who came to Christ in Vacation Bible School or who at least had the seeds of the gospel planted in Vacation Bible School because they're in non-Christian homes where a Christian neighbor said, hey, we've got Vacation Bible School at our church. Why don't you come and go with us? And that's what the Lord used to bring them to Christ. I really think whatever you're doing in your church when it comes to Vacation Bible School, it is time for all of us to be praying that during these summer months, churches would be able to reach out to children, not just the children in our churches, but the children down the street, the children in homes all up and down our neighborhoods with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And speaking of the gospel, today I would like to talk about heaven. Really, more accurately, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the day in which Jesus raises us from the dead. Jesus restores the entire universe. He recreates the earth in which there is finally peace. There is finally hope. There is finally a complete reversal of the curse that we have on this planet and on this universe. A day in which it is finally said that all things are under the feet of Jesus. Some people say that that idea, that looking past death, looking toward the life that is to come, really doesn't resonate with Americans anymore. The Americans don't care about heaven anymore. Do you think that in your church, you have a good emphasis on heaven and on the life to come? I'm afraid in too many churches, we just don't. I think there are a lot of people who are really starving out there for biblical hope when it comes to the life to come and the world to come. I think that's the reason why I'm in churches all the time where I'm preaching about this issue and speaking about this issue, and I get asked questions all the time, things like, will we know one another in heaven? You know, I think the reason why people ask questions like that is because they have been given an unbiblical view of heaven. We really believe that the life that we have waiting for us is some type of spiritual floating around on clouds, playing a harp, looking into a light, and just having this choir practice that goes on and on and on and on and on. Now, there may be some of you out there for whom choir practice sounds like paradise, but doesn't to me. And certainly not a never-ending choir practice. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Bible teaches that Jesus is going to give to us things to do. We're going to be working in the life to come, Not only that, we're going to be celebrating, eating, fellowshipping with one another. Jesus says, I will eat with you at this table. I will drink with you at this table. The heaven that we have waiting for us, the new earth that we have waiting for us, isn't an end to anything. It's a beginning of something. And the friendships and the vocations and the callings that we've experienced in this life, they don't end. They're redeemed, they're fulfilled, and they're even better. So how do you think that we can take this idea of heaven and proclaim it to lost people in a compelling way and teach Christians actually to have hope and actually to look forward to something else? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and we'll talk about heaven. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is on family vacation right now, hopefully experiencing a little bit of heaven as he is relaxing and recreating. But what is heaven really like? That's what I want to talk about today. Do you look forward to heaven? Do you look forward to the day of resurrection, to the day of a new heavens and a new earth? And what do you think that's going to be like? How can you communicate that in your church and in your family and in your community that really we have something that we're looking forward to? We don't understand everything about it, but we do understand something about it. And that ought to change and transform the way that we live right now. How does your idea of heaven transform the way that you live, the way that you work, the way that you raise your children, the way that you have friendships? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let's talk about that. There are some people who will say Americans don't want heaven. They can't understand heaven. They have no interest in heaven. Do you think that's true? When you talk to unbelievers in your neighborhood, do you sense that they're looking for something like heaven, or are they just so absorbed with life the way it is that really they just want to live life and be done with it? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, we have on the line Dr. Jeffrey Burton Russell, who is Professor of History Emeritus at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He has written a very interesting new book called Paradise Mislaid, How We Lost Heaven and How We Can Regain It, where he's tracing the history of our idea of heaven in Western culture. Dr. Russell has also written many other very interesting books, including a whole 5-volume series on the history of the devil. And so we are very honored to have Jeffrey Burton Russell with us today. Dr. Russell, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you very much, Dr. Moore.
I was really interested in your new book where you argue that we have lost a concept of heaven. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that our society as a whole has lost it. Clearly, a lot of people, thank God, still have it. But our society as a whole, Western society, has turned away from heaven, from the reality of the spiritual world, and has become more and more fixated on the physical and the material.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned one thing I thought was very interesting at the very beginning of the book, where you talk about our attitude toward coolness, being cool, that has something to do with how we view heaven.
Well, I think it's a general attitude in Western civilization today of cynicism. That's very unfortunate, but it's there. And so to let anybody know that you really, truly believe in something is uncool in most parts of our society. Certainly, it is at the university or in the media and so forth. It's very easy to be branded as uncool if you really sincerely believe in something powerfully spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Now, most of our audience, Dr. Russell, is made up of evangelical Christians, Christians who believe the Bible, evangelical Protestant believers. How do most evangelicals in America, would you say, what do they think about when they think of heaven?
Well, I think most evangelicals think in traditional Christian terms. That is, being in heaven is being with God. That's the that's the whole point of it. God is the ultimate reality, and being in heaven is being with and in that ultimate reality.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned also in your book about the idea of heaven in popular culture right now in America. And I thought that was very interesting where you're pointing out that you have all of these books and films about the afterlife right now in American culture. What do you think is going on there?
I think a couple of kind of opposite things are going on. One, I think there's a growing Christian presence in the media and even to some extent in education, which is a very good thing. It's a very good countercurrent against what I think is the main direction of our society, which is in the direction of more and more materialism and cynicism, and either disbelief or else such confused numbers of beliefs that that they don't make any sense. For example, all kinds of spiritualism and New Age and witchcraft and so forth.
So five people you meet in heaven type of stuff that you see all over the place in airport bookstores and so forth.
Oh, yeah, there's so much of it. It completely outweighs the in volume the Christian material.
Now, I wonder if you would agree with me on this. I think that your typical American has some idea of heaven as just a nice place to go when you die, but what they're avoiding is any understanding of judgment.
I think that's a very good point. I think that is true of a lot of people. That's right. We're just going to go and live our life as we please, and then of course we're going to go to heaven and be happy. But you know, the thing is that God creates us with free will, and God wants to save everybody. God wants everybody to be in heaven, but isn't going to force anybody to be in heaven. And so some people. It's like a plant, you know, growing toward the sun. Some people develop their character in that direction. They open up to the sun and they grow. Other people turn their attention away and turn toward their own feelings, their own ideas, their own pleasures, and that moves them away from the sun, and they kind of wither and turn black and die, in effect. So, yeah, there is definitely judgment. We're judged on our character as we form it during our lives. Either we love God and our neighbor or we don't. Now, we all have, all people, you know, do bad things sometimes. None of us is perfect. But that doesn't matter if you're, well, it matters. But what really matters is the direction that your whole character takes. You can do a bad thing now and then, but you're still moving in the direction of that light, of that sun.
Dr. Russell, one of the things you mentioned in your book is the fact that you really see in the whole alien abduction fad going on in American culture, especially a few years ago, this kind of longing for heaven, for escape from reality and from life as we know it now.
I think people do have a general sense, most people, that things aren't right here on Earth, and they're looking for some kind of solution from somewhere. And so I think that the fixation that we've had recently on extraterrestrials is really a kind of a secularized version of a belief in God's angels. That is, we kind of expect these extraterrestrials to come down and help us out of the mess that we've made.
All right, Jeffrey Burton Russell, author of Paradise Mislaid, How We Lost Heaven and How We Can Regain It. Thank you, Dr. Russell, for being with us today on the Albert Mohler Program. You know, I suspect that there are a lot of people in our churches who don't think enough about the new creation, about the heaven, the new heavens and the new earth waiting for us. And that's the reason why we have so much carnality in our churches right now. That's the reason why we try to control reality through gossip or through making sure that we're the envy of everyone in our neighborhood by acquiring things, or by making sure that we seem to be successful, seem to be even, as Dr. Russell says, cool. Why we're so cynical and hardened, because we don't have a vision of that final day. How do we turn that around? How do you turn that around? What do you think about when you think about heaven, and how do you communicate that to people in your neighborhood? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking about heaven today. You know, I agree and disagree with Belinda Carlisle. Heaven is a place on earth, eventually. Bible says that the New Jerusalem comes down from the heavens and transforms the earth into a new earth. But what she's singing about is, I think, what most people in our culture think about when they think about heaven, which is just happiness. I mean, even when we talked to Jeffrey Burton Russell a few moments ago, he gave a very good, I think, overview of what the culture is thinking about heaven. But what he's missing is the gospel. What he's missing is the understanding that God is giving an inheritance, but he's giving it to Jesus Christ. If you're found in Christ, you receive the ends of the earth, the heavens and the earth, but only through passing through judgment in him. That's what we don't want to think about. What I want to know from you is, how does your understanding of heaven impact the way that you live? How do you think your understanding of what the future is going to be like, how do you communicate that to the people in your community, the people in your own family? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Lance on the line, who is calling from Holland, Michigan. Lance, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you very much for having me on and letting me voice my opinion on this. You touched on looking forward to heaven.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I go to a Bible-believing church, a nice church, and Sunday morning might average between 3,000 and 3,500 people. I took part in the Sunday night service this week. And so sitting on the stage, I'm counting heads. I counted about 75 people.
Mm.
And something inside me, affluence, I'm thinking of people have too much to do. They're not even looking forward to heaven. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, Lance, I think you're onto something there. I think there really is a sense in which American culture is so fat and happy, we really don't think we need anything else. I think that may be why some of the most encouraging parts of the world in which you have the gospel really transforming lives are in places that are completely impoverished, because you have people who understand my treasure is, as Jesus says, in the heavens. It is with Christ and will return with him. And so they're looking away from current reality, the way things are, the status quo, and looking toward Jesus Christ. How do we correct that? How do you create a longing for a new heavens and a new earth in this kind of an ultra rich, ultra fat, ultra happy American society? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Brett on the line, who is calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN. Brett, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to.
My personal opinion is, I try to talk to people many times about various things that's going on in the world, about Scripture. I love prophecy. And to my astonishment, most people are concerned about their own little utopia. Whatever's going on in their little block of the world, their little society,
yeah,
their group of friends, is what most concerns them. If it's not affecting them immediately, then it doesn't affect them at all. When it does affect them, it's too late. So trying to tell them these things is like, you know, speaking to a brick wall. You can't get through. As long as what's going on in their world today is happy and fine, and they don't have to step out of their little box, it doesn't matter to them.
Now, Brett, are you talking about Christian people?
I'm talking about both Christians and non-Christians alike. I see a lot of people that go to church, but they have no view of what is actually going on in the world today, or what's going on in speaking about the Lord's word, even in the church. They go to church. When they leave the church, they can't most of the time tell you what the pastor was even speaking on.
All right. Brett says that we're so consumed with our own lives and what's going on in them that we can't see past that to heaven. How do you correct that in your neighborhood, in your church? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Ivan on the line calling from Brandon, Florida. Ivan, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
And thank you for the opportunity.
What's your thought today?
Well, you know, you asked how might we be able to help solve that. And I think in one way would be to preach more of the law, not watered down. A lot of preaching today is just Christian tips for living.
Mm-hmm.
Would be to preach the law, reminding Christians of how bad we still are.
Yeah.
You mentioned bearing the image earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid that we're too interested in today of bearing the image of Jennifer Aniston, or our boys are interested in bearing the image of Eminem.
That is a very appropriate word, Pastor Ivan. We have lost our understanding of what we're going to be, kings and queens of the universe, one day. What do you think? How do we recover this? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Bo Cephas says he doesn't want to go to heaven, but didn't like Dixie. I think there are a lot of people who actually have that attitude, whether they admit it or not, even in our churches, who actually dread the idea of resurrection from the dead and the life that is to come. And I think the reason they dread it is because they have a Buddhist eschatology, because they have heard in our preaching and in our sermons for so long that what it means to be in heaven is to be all by yourself, standing, singing, and looking into a light. And that is not what Jesus has told us is waiting for us. He says, the first will be last and the last will be first. You will sit with me on thrones and rule with me in my Father's kingdom. It means we have things to do. It means that we have relationships that will continue. It means that we will be living life, eternal, everlasting life. Why don't we long for that? Why don't we look forward to that? Why is that so hard for us to think beyond toward that final inheritance that we have in Christ? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can we reclaim hope, looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth in our own churches, and how can we make that compelling to unbelievers? Let me know. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. We have Lang on the line, calling from Olney, Illinois, listening on XM Radio. Lang, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Russell. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to.
Yeah, I was just listening and thinking that oftentimes I hear in these kinds of conversations just sort of an automatic, I don't know, maybe it's a knee-jerk reaction to the affluence in America.
Mm-hmm.
But my thought is that, you know, the things that I've gone through have broken me and drawn me closer to Jesus. And if a person can be saved in India, then a person can be saved in America. God's no respecter of persons.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that it's so much an issue of our affluence that keeps us from wanting heaven. I think it's sometimes the hard things, though, that we go through. And somebody can go through hard things in India loving Jesus, and they can go through hard things in America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their choice as to whether it makes them long for Jesus, which is what heaven's all about.
Yeah.
If we pull Jesus out of heaven, then heaven's not any place to go, because it's just an idea.
Yeah.
It's not a person.
That's right.
And it's all about relationship. We want to be with him.
Yeah. Yeah, Lang, I think you're partly right, and I think you're partly wrong. I think that affluence does have something to do with it, because you remember what Jesus talks about in the parable of the sowers and the seed, and he talks about wealth choking out that desire for the things of Christ. I think that that is a real temptation that we face in the United States of America, which is exactly why James, when he writes to the congregations and he says to them, you've disrespected the poor man in your midst. He says, you say to the one who wears fancy clothing, come and sit here, and the one who wears shabby clothing, you go sit in the back. He says, what you don't understand is that God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. Now, what he does not mean by that is some type of Marxist liberation theology view that somebody is automatically virtuous because that person is poor. But what I think he does mean is exactly what Jesus says when he talks about God upsetting the apple cart, that the last will be first and the first will be last. I think that you have, in the United States of America, a lot of faithful, godly church janitors who will one day receive great and glorious reward and ruling authority, who are exercising right now humility and looking forward to recognition that isn't happening right now, it's happening later. Treasures found in heaven. So how do you refocus that kind of priority in your own life? How do you teach yourself and train yourself to long for the kingdom of God, to seek first the kingdom of God, to long for what we call heaven? What the Bible says is heaven coming down and restoring and renovating the entire universe. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Bob on the line who is listening on WTBN in Tampa, Florida. Bob, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Yeah, hi there, brother. Thank you. Well, it's a great question, and I'll kind of explain what helps me to keep focused on attaining the heavenly calling, and that is having what I've been taught recently that's helped me is an understanding of the judgment seat of Christ as found in 1 Corinthians, that you either receive a reward or a loss. And then those scriptures tie into Galatians, which, and other scriptures that talk about, you know, those who, you know, walk in the flesh will not receive the kingdom of God. And this is what I've discovered. This is what I just kind of want to share, and of course you can respond. But I'm finding out that it's actually the kingdom, like what Galatians talks about, if you don't get into that kingdom, it's actually the seventh-day kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ. In other words, there's two parts. There's the thousand-year reign of Christ, and then there's eternal salvation. And I do believe once saved, always saved. But it's that hope of our heavenly calling to rule and reign with Christ, which in the way I'm seeing Scripture, that's not a guaranteed thing. And you just mentioned James, the book of James, where it talks about working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And there's things like that we have to earn through the righteous works. And it's not just by faith that we're saved, but it's also by works, like Abraham. And I could never understand, well, if I'm already saved, what am I trying to earn? And it does talk about, well, you'll receive a reward or you shall suffer loss. And the only thing I'm coming up with, that the suffering of loss is that privilege to rule and reign with Christ if you've been obedient.
I disagree with you on that, Bob, a little bit. I do think that Jesus talks about different degrees of ruling authority. You know, for instance, when the mother of James and John comes to Jesus, he says, it is not me for me to decide who will sit at my right hand and who will sit at my left, but my Father in heaven. I think there is a sense in which the rewards that we are given have to do with our calling, our vocation, and the way that we have served in this life. What I don't think the Bible is teaching is that you have some people who are kind of restricted out of the reign of Christ, and then some people who are given that reign based on their works. I don't think that's what's happening. I think every Christian will rule with Christ. That's the promise that Jesus gives in the book of Revelation. But I think the question is, are we seeking recognition and glory? Are we seeking honor now by making sure that the people who live in our neighborhood envy us? By making sure that we have our name in the newspaper, by making sure that we have clothes that are better than the people who are sitting next to us in the restaurant? Or are we looking to glory and recognition and honor in Jesus Christ at the resurrection from the dead? Well done, my good and faithful servant. How do you keep your priorities together? How do you get yourself to long for heaven in American culture? Looks a lot like Disney World. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller on Family Vacation, and we're talking today about heaven and about the loss of heaven and the loss of longing for a new creation in American culture. But frankly, I am less worried about that than I am for the loss of a longing for a new earth and a new heavens in our churches. I mean, I think the pastor who called, the Presbyterian pastor who called earlier, is exactly right, that you have in so many churches a preaching of these are six tips for a happier marriage, and these are five ways to be more successful in the workplace, without really focusing us on the gospel of Jesus Christ, which isn't just for lost people. The gospel is for Christians, too. And the gospel that we're constantly to be thinking about and meditating on is that we don't fear judgment. We've already been through judgment at the cross of Jesus Christ. We don't sit around and wonder if God's going to resurrect us from the dead, if we have a future. God has already resurrected the first fruits, Jesus Christ, from the dead, and we're spiritually seated with him in the heavenly places. We will be raised with him, and we will receive everything that God has promised to him, which is everything. And I think the fact that we don't talk about this enough is one of the reasons why we have such envy and strife and jealousy in our own churches, where people sit around and see that the recognition that one another is receiving in the workplace or wherever, because we don't see the true priority, that our recognition comes with the word of Christ himself. I think that's one of the reasons why we don't know how to relate to one another. We don't know how to have real and genuine friendships, because we just see each other as means to an end. We don't see one another as those with whom we will be spending forever and ever and ever and ever and ever under the rulership of Christ, and that is a really good thing. It's one of the reasons why I think we chase after all of these stupid and silly fads that we have come through American culture, because we don't have any value in anything that's permanent, because we never hear about anything that's permanent. We don't hear enough about Jesus Christ. I was in a church one time where the senior adult group was named One Step from Heaven. I said to the pastor, "Man, that's kind of rough." And he said, "Oh, if you knew these senior adults, you'd know that's a gracious statement." I'm afraid that could be said too often about too many of us. We ought to be living all of our lives one step from heaven, one step from the kingdom of Christ. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.